Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, glory to God. Guys, let's bow our heads and pray, and we're going to jump in. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word never, ever changes, that it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thankful, Father God, for the revelation of your word. So thankful that your word is true. And this afternoon, or I would have to say tonight, Father God, that as we get into your word, revelation, we expect revelation to flood our soul. We're thankful, Father, for your presence that has already been in this service tonight. We worship you. We give you glory and we give you honor, for you are a great God. You are so good and your mercies endure forever. We love you, Father. We're so thankful that we do know that you are the deliverer. You are our healer. You are our God. You are a God of miracles. We worship you in this house. We honor you. We thank you, Father God, with great expectancy for what you're going to do tonight. And we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shouts, amen. Amen. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to sit with you tonight. God is so good. Pastor, thank you once again for letting us be with you guys. It's such an honor to be in Montana in the snow, which we love. And I'm just so glad to be here because in Tulsa, we get very little snow. And I'm from Indiana, and I love a lot of snow. So flying in, I was just like, felt like I was in heaven. And so it's so good to be here with every single one of you, and just good to be in a church where God's God. So thank you so much for allowing us to come, and it's such an awesome privilege to be here. And Jerry and I are just enjoying it and loving it. And so thank you. Guys, as we were singing that song, He's a God of miracles and stuff, the Spirit of God said to me, he said, there's somebody in the house tonight that's got shoulder issues, that has problems in their shoulder. And if that's you right now, just as the message comes forth, get ready, you're healed. You know, somebody with a pancreas issue. Spirit of God said, somebody's here with pancreas issues. And get ready, because you're healed already right now. As we go through the rest of this service, get ready. If you've got pain in your body, go ahead and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank God it's over, because by the end of this message, all the pain's going to be gone. Guys, we serve a God of miracles, a God that has provided all things to us. And thank God we can rejoice in what he's done. Glory to God. And you know, you might say, well, why do you know these things? Well, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me as he lives on the inside of you. And he was speaking to me, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You know, the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate, and you start sensing and hearing what he's saying, you speak it out. And you know, why in the world would God speak something if he wasn't going to perform it? He's already performed it. Amen. How many of you can say, I'm healed?
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed. Miracles are no problem for God. Hallelujah. Well, guys, I had so much fun this morning in here. I enjoyed fellowshipping with you guys around the word. And I believe that God has got a message in due season to tag right on to what we were talking about this morning. This is a conference that's a prayer conference. It's talking about how that we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I remember the day I got revelation on that verse about how that we're seated with him, because I begin to realize I'm not seated with him so that I can enjoy the view. I'm seated with him so that I can see things the way he sees it, so that I'll operate in faith and confidence the way he's created me to operate, so that I will operate from such a place of victory. Because how many of you know we're more than overcomers? We've got the victory. I'm thankful for that song, you know, was singing about, you know, we're surrounded, but we got to remember he's in us too. I don't know about you. We are surrounded. We're enveloped in him. He lives in us. Glory to God. I tell you what, I love the Holy Ghost singing. I love it when the presence of God shows up in the house as it did tonight. And I tell you, the more that we speak from what we believe and what the word says and how God has set us free, the more we're going to walk in victory. I believe it with all my heart. We are living in the hour where the church is rising up in greater power. Some would say, oh, because man, there's going to be a greater glory cloud that's going to come and rest upon all of us. No, you know what I really believe? I believe we as ministers of the gospel and we as laymen in the church are going to begin to operate with what we've already had all these years and finally got the revelation, man. God's in me. Imagine that. He's in us. And everything he is, we used to sing an old song in the Rhema Singers and Band. Everything he is in me. I've got the greater one on the inside, giving me everything I need. You know, you sing a song like that, man, the greater one's on the inside. I've got everything I need. And you know, I think we sung it and we're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But guess what? The word doesn't come your reality till you meditate it and meditate on it and meditate on it and make a decision. I want the word and I want the truth more than what I'm living in this natural realm. You know, God's never withheld nothing from us. God is not holding healing back. He's not holding his plan back for your life. He's not holding things back. God is saying, here it is, boom. But you've got to come after it. Are you with me? Because, see, Jesus isn't going to come back and die again. He's not going to come back and get beaten all over again for us to finally get healed. No, he's already done it. Well, I've been believing for a long time, and I just don't understand what God's problem is. Well, that's where we've got it wrong, because God doesn't have a problem. And that's when we need to go, oh, I think there's something going on with me that I'm not taking hold. You know, I quoted a verse today out of the Passion Translation of 1 Peter 2:24 that says that it was talking, you know, the verse we all know, by his stripes we are healed. You know, we were, we is, all that, we're healed. But the Passion Translation says, oh, Jerry, you're not up here. Let me see your phone. He'll let us read it. But it talks about how that he was wounded for my instant healing. Think about that. He, Jesus, was wounded for my instant healing. Instant. I don't know about you, but we live in a world of instant. We drive up to the drive-thru. They better hurry up and give my food fast. Where they got to go? They had to go kill the cow again or something? Come on. Am I the only one? You go through the bank. Okay, shoot me my money. Why is taking them so long? You put something in the microwave. You pull it out in 30 seconds and it's not hot. What in the world? If you're like my husband, he pushes buttons and does things on the microwave so that when I get to the microwave, he pushes buttons that make things cook longer. I want it fast, bless God. How many of you like fast things, you know? Well, when I read this verse, and this is how it says it, it says, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. So the wounds that he took caused me to have instant healing right now. Now, we as the faith camp, you know, we've believed 1 Peter 2:24 forever. But when you hear it from that, it's like, whoa, yeah, instantly we're healed. Guys, did you know God never meant, hey, babe, thank you. God, and my husband, handsome, hey, hey. I waited on him a long time, so I talk about him all the time. The students go up to him all the time and call him the Italian stallion because that's what I tell them. I'll tell them stories of how I believe God for my husband to find me. And I said, and God brought me my Italian stallion. And they'll go up to him and say, hi, Italian stallion. Yeah, he loves me in spite of me. Praise the Lord. But so I'm going to brag on him. I have to watch myself because I can get goo-goo. I mean, have you ever, you know, I'll be up teaching or doing something in prayer school or doing something there on campus teaching a class. And for some reason, Jerry will pop in the back door. And I still have to go, oh, okay. It's like, you know, that is never going to leave. That I'm just not going to let it. I'm going to stay that way, overjoyed. And my heart still go, ah, you know. And okay, so why I told you that, I have absolutely no idea. You guys doing well? Can we have fun in church? Amen. Well, guys, this morning we really had a good time in here. I believe that God manifested himself and was speaking to us. And as I told you, the Spirit of God said to me, Father God, what do you want me to do? Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do this morning? And he goes, I want you to start at the beginning. I thought, you got jokes. The beginning? Well, that's the book of Genesis. And I knew what he was telling me. He was telling me Genesis chapter 1. It's around 25 through 27. And he was wanting me to say, hey, guess how you were created? God created you. And when he created you, he said to the Father, or the Father said to the Spirit and to Jesus, Holy Ghost and Spirit, three is one. They're all there. He said, let us make man in our image. God made us like him. And in him making us like him, that means that he made us a spirit being. And well, you know, well, are we sure that God was a spirit? That's when we went to John 4:24 this morning, where it said God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, then God is a spirit. Then that means let us make man like, okay, so that means you must be a spirit. We are a spirit being. Basic teaching of any word of faith, man. I'm sure your pastor has taught this about how that you're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Brother Hagin taught us very well there on campus at Rhema and talked about how that we're a three-part being. I am a spirit. I live in a body. I possess a soul. I thought he wrote that till I found out that it says it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And Paul said it. He got it from Paul. And Paul said, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And Paul broke us down into a three-part being. And I don't think it's chance that Paul said spirit first. Are you with me? I don't think it's a coincidence that Paul said spirit first. You know, he could have said, you know, I pray God that your whole body, your whole mind, you know, your soul, you know, your spirit then. But no, he said your spirit. I believe that Paul recognized that your spirit is the real you. All right. I believe that the real you is your spirit being, the one that's on the inside of you. And your body is the house and the temple that's carrying your spirit around. And that's why the enemy tries to fight your body so much. Because if he can get your focus off of the mandate upon your life, the mandate of the church, and get yourself focused on the problems of a physical body, then he knows he has whipped you pretty good. Because he's getting your thoughts off of what you're supposed to be on. And we've got to recognize that these temples, these houses that we live in, obeys us, the voice of our spirit. The real you is your spirit being. If you study it in the Word of God, Stephen, you know, he was stoned. And as he was being stoned, the Bible says that he called out to God and he said, Lord Jesus, I think it's like in chapter 16, I think, of Acts. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was ready to go. And he was like, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He didn't say, receive my body. He didn't say, receive my soul, my intellect, my emotions, my will. No, he said, receive my spirit. And the moment he spoke that, the Bible says that his body fell dead down to the ground. He was a dead man in this natural realm, but his spirit went up to who gave it. The real him went up. Not long ago, my dad went to heaven. He had made a decision. He'd been healed of many different things, and he'd made the decision he wanted to go home. So we all gathered around him and was worshiping the Lord and everything. And guys, I remember looking at my dad and I told my dad, I said, Dad, I think it's ridiculous that you're going home a little early. We're a blunt family. And he goes, oh, Leanne, it won't be long till all of you will be with me. And I was like, well, yeah, but it ain't gonna be right away. And he goes, oh, honey. I go, no, Dad, I want you to know something. I said, I know that you're going home because you've made the decision. And I said, but I want you to know I'm going to be happy when you go. I go, now this is why I'm going to be happy. Because, first of all, I think you're being selfish wanting to go early. Secondly, I'm going to be happy because I know you're going to be happy because you're going where you want to go. And I'm going to be happy that you're going because you're happy that you're going. And I'm going to have to make myself believe that because my soul's going to want to grieve and cry and be crazy on this. But Dad, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy because you're happy. And I'm going to see you again. You're only moving. You're in my future. I'm going to be happy. See, when as believers, heaven should be more real to us than anything. And I've practiced this out now. When my dad stepped over less than a week when he decided he wanted to go. Oh, we had a wonderful home going. He didn't go through the jaws of death. He went through the gates of glory. You know, we prayed him over that way. All my family, we're Pentecostal prayers, Holy Ghost people. All of us were surrounded in the bed where he was sleeping, and we're just worshiping God. I never sang so much that week in all my life. I kept singing, and songs would come up out of me, and he would just rejoice because he was a singer, and it just would bless him. So, man, I'd just keep singing. Some of my siblings was like, Leanne, seriously, can you think of another song on the planet? Because, man, I was singing, 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 you know. And but they were too, but I went a little overboard because I'm very close to my dad. And but I'll tell you what, it was moments before he was, about 20 minutes before he stepped over, my mom went back over to his bed, and she released him one last time. She said, now, Marlon, you go on home. It's not time for me to come yet. You go on. And then guess what my Pentecostal Holy Ghost mama did? She began to cry and pray in the spirit. And she said, now, Father, I consecrate my life unto you. 83. She was 80 years old at this time. I consecrate my life unto you right now. Whatever you desire, whatever you want me to do, oh God, I'll do it, Lord. I'll pray. And I mean, she's Pentecostal, so she's going ha, ta, 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 and all this, you know, and she's going for it. I live my life unto you. I'll pray out your will in the earth. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Well, before you knew it, all of us kids, there's five kids and all the grandkids, about 18, 20 of us all together, we're surrounding the bed. And now we're all praying the prayer of consecration. We're all pouring out our hearts before the Lord. And my dad's getting ready to step over, but we're all, oh God, your will be done, your will be done. There was such a presence of God in that house. It was powerful. And we're all weeping and pouring out unto God. And I mean, it was 20 minutes, boom, my dad stepped over. He was happy. He's happy. And you know, some of us had walked away from the bed, and my brother and my niece was sitting right there with him. And my niece was holding his hand. My brother was holding his other hand and stuff. And my brother said, you wouldn't believe what happened. We were like, what happened? What happened? You know, it's like, oh, why wasn't I in there? And but what happened was Dad, while he was laying there, He had had his eyes closed most of that that day, and but all of a sudden he opened his eyes and he looked up, and he smiled real big and did this, whew, and he left. My brother saw his spirit come up out of his body. He said it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. He said he goes, I saw him just go right up. I was like, wow, heaven is real. And once my dad's spirit left his body was done. Are you with me? Guys, let me tell you something. The realm of the spirit is so real. And so often we in the church have been afraid that people were going to get flaky and weird and strange. And so we didn't teach and talk about it a whole lot. And if it was talked about, only certain ministers could talk about the supernatural. I remember, you know, I had the wonderful privilege and opportunity to travel with Brother Hagin in the last years of his life in the Rhema Singers and Band. And in traveling in the group, oh man, guys, seeing Brother Hagin up close and personal, operating in the supernatural and having the opportunity to be there with him. And there were times that he would call upon me to preach for him or teach. And I remember the first time he called on me, I was in California with him in a crusade singing in the group. And there was a thing that we knew that we always sang all the worship, and then we would sing special songs. And then Brother Hagin would take over the meeting, you know, because then he would begin to teach or minister the word. And we had gotten up there as the group, and we're singing, And I was called, they had asked me to do the intro between the songs that we were singing that night. And I begin to intro the song, and then all of a sudden I sense the anointing on me. And I started preaching in between the songs. And on the inside, I remember thinking, oh goodness, no, Leanne, back up, back up. Brother Hagin's going to call on you to preach this tonight. Stop it. Back up, back up. I turned around and I looked at the drummer to point at him to click the song off so we could start singing. And so I backed up into the line with the singers and we began to sing. And the whole time on the inside, I'm telling God, I am not preaching tonight. This is Brother Hagin's message. I am not doing anything tonight. I did my part. Oh, but Brother Hagin had taught us when we finished singing, we would stay on the platform, but he would walk up to the podium. And if he bowed his head and was going to pray, then we knew our job was done for right then. And we could go get off the platform and sit down and listen to the message. If he didn't bow his head, then that meant he was going to use us for something else. So when Brother Hagin took the podium, on the inside, I'm saying, Brother Hagin, bow your head. Bow your head. Bow your head. Oh, God, help him. Bow his head and pray, Lord. Tell him to pray. And then all of a sudden, he started. You know these kids up here? They're anointed. They're called of God. And he said, you know, they've got it. He turned around and looked at me. Leanne, come here. Oh, God. I had not ever preached for him yet. And he called to me and he said, come here. I walked up to the podium and I stood beside him. He was right here. I'm right here. I don't know if I've ever been that close to Brother Hagin like that. He looked at me and he said, Leanne, I want you to preach. I want you to pray. I want you to prophesy. I want you to see whatever you want to do. This is your meeting tonight. He turns around and goes and sits down in the chair. Ba-boom. You should have felt the heat that was in the room. It was really hot and steaming, and God was, whoa! And then all of a sudden when he said that, it was just like, you could almost hear some sigh. Yeah. Because all these ministers had come to hear their spiritual father. And now their spiritual father has given over to a kid to preach. And I remember, weeding through all that doubt and unbelief and a bunch of people not wanting to hear me. And I was like, God, I'm so glad I know you because I know you, I got this. My spiritual father called on me to speak. And because he called on me to speak, I've got to believe that he's heard from you and I've got it. I know I've got it. The spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. Now to look at me, you just thought, oh, she's okay. No, on the inside I was going, oh, Shondai, and I'm speaking what the word says. I like the message we talked about this morning, John 14:17, the scripture that Pastor read, the spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him. Man, I already had revelation of the verse. So man, I'm speaking it. I'm declaring it. I'm going to Holy Ghost to know you because I know you. I got this. I got this. I got this. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, I had Richie who's over the band. I told him, I said, will you grab my notes down there? Because I was a smart girl. I've been taught, well, you know, always have messages with you. And so I brought that up. He brought it up to me. I don't know if I ever even looked at it, but man, I just started speaking, you know, by the Spirit and just declaring and speaking now to John 14:17. And guys, it took probably about halfway through the message, but finally the brakes were taken off of the meeting. And God showed up. The presence of God was so strong in the place. And what was so awesome, I tell you, I could sense that there was a prophecy, a word of the Lord needed to come forth. And on the inside, I'm thinking, it's Brother Hagin's meeting. He needs to do this, not me. But see, I was still young and traveling with him because when Brother Hagin gave you the service and said to you, I want, this is your meeting, he meant it. He meant it. And so, but I was still thinking, well, surely he's going to take it. And I turned and looked at him. He wouldn't even give me eye contact. He's training us kids. And so I looked over at Tony, one of the piano players in the group, and I said, Tony, come on up and play, because I'm a singer. So I begin to sing and begin to worship the Lord, but then I begin to prophesy in song. And as I was prophesying in song, I was thinking, this is good, but still, I think it needs to come from him. I looked back at him, no eye contact. Well, I just kept going. The presence of God was so strong in the place, and then all of a sudden, I felt somebody standing beside me. I looked over, there was Dad. Whoa. I stepped back. And he took the podium. And he began to prophesy by the Holy Ghost for a good 20 minutes. As I stood behind him, I began to weep because I knew that in years past, I had prayed out that very service. I had seen myself get up and speak, and then Brother Hagin come up and prophesy at the end. And I remember standing there going, God, whoa, I can't believe this is happening. Guys, I'm here to tell you, as we said this morning, I'm a kid from Indiana. I was shy as a day is long, but God. Every single one of us has a mandate of God upon our lives. The word should be our reality. The word of John 14, 16, and 17 should be our reality. If Jesus said the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him, then we've got to line our mouth up to what the word said. Now this morning, in a real, as fast as I possibly can so that we can go into the next phase of what we're talking about tonight. Guys, this morning we talked about how that, yes, we are spirit beings. We've been made in the image and the likeness of God. God made us like him. God wants us to understand the realm of the spirit. It's not supposed to be a weird, spooky place. We should be able to operate in that realm. Many times we're operating in that realm and we're not recognizing that we're doing it. Where Paul said we're supposed to walk in the spirit, live in the spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's time for us as the church to rise up and live supernatural lives, to no longer living in the darkness of hoping and praying. And here we are, as I will say, I don't know if you guys call it like this, but there on campus, a lot of times we'll talk about us being in the faith camp. In the faith camp, I believe overall, some have gotten weary and they don't go after it as strong as they used to. And I believe that we've got to get back to speaking the word and believing that when we speak it, it manifests. I believe we've got to get back to believing some things and calling those things which are not as though they were. It's time for us to get back in the Bible, not comparing ourselves to other churches and other people around, but to get back in the word and cause God to be manifested in our lives through his word. You don't have to be a preaching machine. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry gift to have a prayer life that causes dramatic change to take place in the earth. All you have to do is love Jesus and then go after him in faith. God wants us to live a life of faith where we believe the word, we speak the word, and as we believe and speak, it begins to manifest. As a spirit being, God gave us a legal right. We said this morning that God created us in his image and his likeness. He breathed his breath into our body. God is a spirit. We are spirits. He made us like him. We're not Casper the ghost floating around. We are human spirits that have been made in the image and the likeness of God, and God wants us to operate with him and live in the spirit. We talked about how the realm of the spirit is more real than this natural realm. It's that realm that created this realm. And I'm talking fast because I got a lot I want to get in. But the realm of the spirit is what created. Well, how did the realm of the spirit create this realm? Guys, it's simple. God as a spirit, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it talks about how the face of the earth was void, without shape and form. And God as a spirit being spoke and things were created in this natural realm. God as a spirit, when his words came out of his mouth, things began to be seen. Things begin to be heard in this natural realm through the words that God spoke. He spoke the sky. He spoke the sun into place. The light. He spoke to the waters to how far to go up on the shore. He spoke and things were created. So as a spirit being, God spoke this natural realm into being. Glory to God. And then the last things he created was Adam, Eve. Guys, what was the very last thing he created? Come on now. Eve. And you know what I believe? I think the reason why Eve was the last thing he created is because he was like, you know what? It can't get any better than this. Ladies, you should be shouting right now. But God created man in his image and in his likeness, guys. And we have been given his ability as spirit beings to speak and things change. If it's not true, look over in Mark chapter 11, where I'm sure you guys have heard a lot of messages on. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, right? You know, over there in the scripture where Jesus said, speak to the mountain. You know, let's just back up a little bit. Jesus was hungry, you know, the day before. He was hungry and he got up there. Now I'm paraphrasing. You can write it down. It's Mark chapter 11. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus was hungry and he saw a big tree, fig tree. The leaves must have been full blown on it. I heard one minister say that it wasn't even time for figs, but because the leaves were already in full bloom, Jesus thought there would be fruit on it. He got up to the tree. There was no fruit on it. There was no fruit. And Jesus looked at the tree and he cursed it. He said, nobody's ever going to eat fruit from you ever again. Now, I don't know about you, but Jerry's not this way, but my dad and my nephew and my brother, when they're hungry, you better give them food. That's all I'm going to say. Give them an appetizer if the food ain't ready. I mean, if it's just a cracker, give them something. Because some people, and I know some girls are the same way, if they're hungry, you better put food in them now. They're going to get ugly. I'm not saying Lord Jesus got ugly, but I think it's kind of funny that he cursed the tree. He killed it. But how'd he do it? Got out an axe? Chainsaw? No, he spoke it. He spoke to it. He killed it with his words. And you know, in that same passage in Mark chapter 11, it says that the disciples heard him curse the tree. It said they heard him. The disciples heard him. They heard him. But maybe they were just thinking, oh no, now what's he doing? And they just kept going in because they were going into a city. But Jesus cursed the tree, but evidently nothing happened the very moment he cursed it to the natural eye to see it. They went into the city. The next morning they come back through, and guess who was the one that spoke up? You know, Peter and I are probably going to be buddies when I get to heaven. He spoke up and he said, he goes, Master, look, the tree that you cursed is dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, have faith in God. Now, some people think that Jesus probably said it real sweet and kind, but, you know, God's got, look around in this room at all the different personalities. Come on now. You know, and some people can be a little more straightforward than others. Don't look at anybody in particular. And I think that when Jesus heard Peter say that to him, I think he thought, when are they going to get this? We made them like us. They have the same power, same authority. He could have spoke to the tree himself. And then he looked at him. Have faith in God. You can speak to the mountain. In other words, he was saying, you could have spoke to the tree. See, notice what I'm getting at here? He was telling them, you speak to the problem. And it will have to obey you. He was saying, guys, we have made you like us. You're speaking spirits. You're spirits that speak. And the words that come out of your mouth create the world that you live in. Now, this is going to be a crazy little illustration. My little dog, you know, she's in heaven now. Or I believe my dog's in heaven. Some people don't believe dogs are in heaven. But I don't care. I believe my dog's in heaven. And so, my little dog... Don't come up and give me scriptures on what you believe, because I will go in the name. No, I won't. But anyway, my little Pomeranian, I mean, she weighed nothing but 6 pounds, all right? One night, she got out from the house. It's night. It's dark outside. We have a horse farm behind our house. Big horse, little dog. We have coyotes that like to roam in the woods behind us. So my head wanted to go crazy. So I start screaming through the house, Jazzy, 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 Jazzy. Jerry's there. Some of my family's there. We're all searching. We're all looking. I get in my car. I start driving real slow in the dark, yelling for my dog. I got about 3 houses down from mine, and the Spirit of God said to me, what are you doing? I said, Jasmine. And he said, what have you always spoken about her? I said that she would never run away and that she would never get lost and she would never get hit by a car. Should there be no problems? And he goes, then why don't you believe what you said and go home? Well, all right then. I turned around, and when I pulled right back up to the house, Jerry yelled and said, she's home! But see, God had to remind me what words I'd had out, because I spoke it all the time. The words that we speak, we've heard it. Pastor, I know it some way, somehow has said it. The words that we speak create the world that we live in. You might say, this is a prayer conference. Oh, you get ready. Because everything that I'm talking about is going to be smack dab pushed into what we're talking about in prayer. Because guys, if we don't know who we are, we will not pray from our seated position in Christ. If we don't recognize who you are as a spirit being, you will not pray from a place of faith and a place of victory, knowing you've got it. You know what? When my dog had run out of the house, guys, I wasn't operating as a prophet or an apostle, a pastor, an evangelist, and teacher. I was operating as a dog owner who was freaking out. And God spoke to my heart, and I heard him because I've meditated so much in the Word on John 14:17. Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you. I see you. I hear you. I follow you. Oh, I'm so glad that I know you. And then as we went to 1 John 2:20 this morning, where it says, you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do we know everything in our soul? No, but the Holy Ghost who lives on the inside of us knows everything. And if you need to know something, you've got to learn to tap into the Holy Ghost on the inside. He knows all things, and because he's in you, you've got it. I tell the students in Principles of Prayer, it's one of the classes I teach there on campus, I tell them, don't you come and tell me you don't know what the will of God is for your life. Because how many of you have ever had somebody, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know what the will of God is, oh my God. And you know, I don't like people that talk like that. You want to know why? Because they're not talking faith. They're not talking from the place of the revelation that God is in them. You might say, well, are you that way? If they're right, no, but I am with those that I've been teaching for 8 weeks in a class, and every week I'm talking about, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Spirit of God lives in you. John 14, you know the Holy Ghost. Preaching it for 8 weeks, and then they come up to me at the end of 8 weeks. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go. As you can see, I'm not a pastor. Hallelujah. Pray for mercy. Pray for mercy for me. But guys, you know, it's like, I don't like it. You know, the team there in prayer school, if I look at them and say, hey, you've got something. It might be in the time, I might take the service in prayer school because we have prayer school every week. I've been in prayer school for 27 years. And so there'll be times the service will start, presence of God comes in, and it's time for me to take the service. I'll walk up on the platform, and sometimes, whew, it's just like, no, it's not time to get in the Word or start praying yet. And I'll look over at somebody and say, hey, you got another song in you. And then they'll start playing something they already know. I'll let them sing it a little bit and go, now play something you don't know. Because that's what I meant to begin with. That's what I meant. And they know, don't say, oh, I don't have nothing. I don't got nothing. Because see, being on that campus, I learned a long, 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 long time ago. If my leadership looks at me and asks me to do something, all I do is, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, got it. You might say, did you know how to do what they asked you to do? Absolutely not in the natural, no. But I have the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. And if they asked me to do something, then bless God, I'm going to believe I've got it. And because I've meditated John 14:17, I mean, I've just meditated that thing so much. I know the Holy Ghost. I know him because I know him. I got it. I got it. I got it. I was at a Kindle the Flame conference. I don't know if any of you ladies have ever been to Kindle the Flame, Miss Lynette Hagen's women's conference. For about 10 years, I led all the worship for that conference. And this particular week, Patrick and I, another guy that was there on campus, he and I took turns. I'd do one night. He'd do the next service. I'd do the next service. And we were going back and forth. And I would sing back up for him. Then he would sing back up for me. But it was the prayer school band working with us. Well, it was the last night of the conference. And any of the ladies ever been to that candlelight conference? I mean, the service, it's beautiful. Candlelight everywhere. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But that service can go kind of long. But it's well worth it. It's a beautiful service, but it's long. And I'm standing on that platform, and I'd been in this conference all week, and I'd worked all week, and I'd done so much and stuff. And I'm up there, and I didn't pick up my inner ear monitor things. You have to put these, because Rhema's platform is gigantic. And if you get on that platform and you don't have monitors on in your ears, the person that is talking is going to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Do you know how they're wah, 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 wah. Okay. Whoo. But it's the last meet. It's the last night. It's probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. She wants us to come up and sing our last song. Well, Patrick is supposed to lead all the music that night. I'm thinking about, woo, glory, we done with this conference. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going home, going to sleep in my bed, not going to think about leading another service for a while. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what I was thinking. I'm standing on the platform with the prayer school singers. The band's all here, but Patrick's leading. He's at the keyboard. And so I'm just standing there, and I'm looking around at the crowd, and Miss Lynette is down at the podium, and she's talking. I can't hear or understand anything she's saying. Wah, 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 wah. But it's all right. I usually have my inner ears on. I can hear what she's saying. And I've been to so many of these. She's just telling them, thanking the ladies for all coming. And probably I'm thinking, and you know, da, 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 da. And all I'm thinking is, okay, when I get home, I'll see what Jerry wants. Da, 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 you know, oh, I can't wait to go to sleep. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, I can't wait to get out of these shoes. Can't wait. And I'm just standing there, just thinking real fleshly. And then all of a sudden, I heard Patrick yell my name. He's about where Jerry's at. And he turned around, he looked at me, and he goes, Leanne! Oh, yeah. He goes, she's calling you. What is she saying? She wants you to sing. And so the thoughts went through my mind. I have no clue what she's even been talking about. Does she want worship? Does she want something fast? Is she wanting us to jump, dance, run, worship? Within seconds, because I couldn't go, I'm sorry, Miss Lynette, I'm thinking about if my husband wants a Big Mac right now. In front of 2,000, 3,000 ladies? Are you kidding? Oh, no. She didn't even want me to exhort before the song. She was just wanting me to sing because I know my leadership. When you're called upon, they want you to step out and do it fast. They don't like any dull moments on the platform. They like it to just flow, which I know, I'm glad, ministry of excellence. And so I'd been trained under it. I knew. But I was thinking about Jared, thinking about my feet, thinking about my bed, thinking, thank you, Jesus, good conference. I'm ready that it's glad it's gone and over now. Ha, ha, hallelujah. What? Whoa. I had to dig deep. I went straight to John 14, 16, 17. I know the Holy Ghost because I know him. I've got this. I might not have been listening, but I got it. I got it. I got it. And she turned around, and I tell you what, guys, she turned around. She stood there, and she turned around. Oh, no. Wah, 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 looking back at me, you know. And within seconds, within seconds, just boom. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. Just like that. You know, I started singing it. I was like, I didn't even wait for them to hit the key. I didn't wait for the singers to know what I was singing because I know how my boss is like. They like think fast, fast, quick, quick. Come on, let's get it rolling. Come on. I didn't have time. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. And then the team came in. And Miss Lynette started dancing all over the podium. Not on the podium, but around the podium. Can't you see her? Let me get up there. But she started dancing and shouting. We just kept singing it, and as we're singing on the inside, I'm going, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, oh, my God. You know, but I found out a long time ago that if leadership looks at you and asks you to do something, you better be on your toes and you better have it. And I found out that John 14, 17 helps me, look at your neighbor and say, the Holy Spirit helps me. I know him. And when we know him, we can speak from a place of faith. We can step out. Honey, come push me. No, I got it. I got it. I got it. Hey, I got it. Hey, come on now. Hey. Are you guys okay? But guys, we know the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And it's up to us to operate with him. God is a good God, but if you don't ever operate in faith, Jesus was telling that Peter that day, have faith in God. I believe what he was saying is, we made you like us. You could have spoke to the mountain. God is wanting us as the church to operate from a place of faith, where we believe what the Bible says. It might have not have worked for Sister Susie or Brother George, but I can't help that it didn't work for them. Well, they had faith, and I don't know why they died. Oh, wait till you get to heaven, and they're going to tell you why. They will. Because many of them that went to heaven early, you know, and they would tell her, oh, I'm in faith. Oh, they had moments with Jesus. And said, I want to come home. I want to come home. But many of them would not ever fess up to it because they wanted you to think that they were still with you. Yeah. Some of you might hate me now, but it's the truth anyway. You'll find out when you get to heaven because the word works. The word works. Why does calamity happen? Why does crazy things occur? I can't answer all those questions. What I do know is that the word works. And even though it might not work for one, like for some that I was in prayer and I was believing God for my husband in faith, calling those things which was not as though they were. Man, my husband's finding me. Man, I can smell his cologne. I didn't even talk like that. I can smell his cologne. He smelled good. But I remember the day I walked into a prayer room and two girls that I was praying with all the time, I could tell they'd taken their faith off of it. Their words weren't speaking faith anymore. They'd backed out. And I had to make a decision. I'm not going to do that. God said he'd give you the desires of your heart. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God. He gives us the desires of our heart. I was preaching in Georgia, and that pastor that looked at me one time, and we had just had a massive healing, anointing, Holy Ghost encounter weekend. It was with Pentecostal holiness, ladies. Man, I took my makeup off. Woo, I look scary. I took my makeup off. I went in. I wore dresses every service because I didn't want them to think that I, you know, was coming in to be rebellious. Man, I wanted to come in. I wanted to just give them Jesus. Man, preached that weekend. We had so many 500 Pentecostal holiness ladies in a gospel tabernacle out in a place and on a countryside. Man, we had God encounters, healings, miracles. Things were taking place just like they're taking place right now in this room. Somebody with shoulder issues, you're healed right now. Somebody that came in here with pain right now, it's gone in Jesus' name. You might as well go ahead and check yourself. It's gone. Pancreas issues. I'm telling you, you're healed. You're healed. Shouting, I'm healed. And guys, those things were happening in that conference, you know, quite a few years back. And I mean, God just manifested himself. There was an older lady that was a minister of the gospel. She came up. She needed hands laid on her, laid hands on her. She said, I have a hole in my heart. Man, I tell you what, that Pentecostal lady, she grabbed a hold of my hand. She was a preacher. And man, when I grabbed hold of her hands, I almost fell back because of the anointing that was on this older lady. And man, and then I said, well, your heart is whole. She fell out under the anointing. She got back up, started running around. She goes, my heart is whole. Completely healed, documented. It and everything has a brand new heart. Guys, I'm telling you, Jesus is a healer. So that was our weekend. But on Sunday morning, I was going to preach in a Pentecostal small holiness church. And then I was going to fly out after we had lunch. And I preach in that church. And as I'm preaching in that church that Sunday morning, I'm telling you what, I was like, dear God, were any of these people, any of these ladies in the conference? There was only around 20 people in the whole church. And I was just like, man, I felt like my words were hitting the back wall and just smacking me in the face. And as I'm teaching, I'm preaching on how the power of God was present to heal all of us always. And as I'm preaching it, man, I'm telling you what, it was dead. These people weren't receiving it. And then the Spirit of God said to me, he said, you see that old lady sitting back over there? And I saw her. She had a beehive hairdo like my mama used to have, you know, big Pentecostal, big hairdo. Anybody remember those? Barge Simpson style, you know, just big, you know, and the Spirit of God said, you see that older lady? I said, yeah, Lord. He said, and now I'm teaching now. Remember, I'm preaching up in front of everybody. He said, she thinks you're a Jezebel. And she can't believe that the pastor has asked you to preach in the church. As I'm preaching on the inside, I'm going, Lord, why do you tell me something like that right now? And he said, you see this older gentleman over there? I go, yeah. And he's thinking the same thing. My father, why you tell me? And just within seconds, see, being an inspirational speaker, a lot of times you'll step out and start speaking something and wonder what you're getting ready to say. Well, I didn't know it, but I was getting ready to say something that afterwards I was like, my God, don't even look at the pastor. Thought I ain't coming back to this church again. Because out of my mouth, I said this. I said, there are two of you in this congregation this morning. There's only 20. There's two of you in the congregation this morning that you've got the brakes on this meeting because you thought and you think that I'm a Jezebel. And you can't believe that the pastor has asked me to be in the pulpit. But the Spirit of God caused me to hear what you were thinking. And if you'll take the brakes off, you're going to find that Jesus is in the house and there's going to be healings that's going to take place. And then I started preaching. No, I take it back. Not preaching right away. I freaked out. Because I couldn't believe that I just said it. And so on the inside, I'm going, don't even look over there at the pastor. Doesn't matter. I know I won't be back. And I immediately just looked down at my Bible and said, and let's read. And so we went to the passage in scripture that talks about how when they let the friends, you know, put their, help me, the guy, help me. Come on, Pastor, don't laugh at me, help me. Come on now. They let their friend down through the roof. Thank you very much for your support. I appreciate it. Thank you. They let their friend down through the house, you know, and stuff. And it said that Jesus perceived the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I think that's what it was. I need to get back in my Bible and read. I'm preaching right now. I need to go back in there. But Jesus perceived their thoughts. And can you believe that when I said, let's read here in Luke, the first thing I read was, and Jesus perceived their thoughts. When I read that, I busted out laughing because at this point, who cares? Who cares? And so I just start busting out laughing. You could tell they all were just. I go, guys, the reason why I'm laughing is that I just did the works of Jesus. I perceived what two of you were thinking about me as Jesus did the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm doing the works of Jesus. And they just looked at me. And then I just started preaching because the brakes were off. We preached, whoo, called for a healing line, and I think everybody in the church, all 20, came and got in the line. Well, who do you think was the first person in line? Beehive hairdo lady. She stood over here. At the end, came up and just stood right there at the end. And I thought to myself, okay, Leanne, you're not going straight to her first. You're going to the middle. I walked down off that platform. Where do you think I went? It was just like, and I stood right in front of her. And I said, sweet things. I looked at her and I said, I hope you know I was talking about you. She looked at me. I know. Started crying big crocodile tears. I said, what do you need? What's wrong with you? And she said, I have heart issues. I can't walk real far without losing my breath, and I've got to stop, and I have asthma, and I've got this, and I've got that. I said, well, guess what? You're healed tonight, or this morning. I laid my hand on her. She fell out under the anointing. I got ready to minister to the next person. The Holy Ghost said, you're not done. I went back. She's laying out on the floor. I kicked the bottom of her foot. I didn't do it on purpose, being mean. I wanted her to get back up again. You hateful thing. I wanted her to get back up. I didn't give her a real big kick. It was just a little bit, just to give her a little nudge to get her attention. You guys are sorry. I tell you what. So I kicked her foot. She looked up at me in her big eyes, you know, tears streaming down. I said, get back up again. So the ushers helped her get back up, and she stood up. And I said, what couldn't you do? Tell me again. She goes, I can't walk too far without losing my breath and having to stop because my heart's so bad. I said, give me your hand. And we started walking back and forth. Man, I tell you what, I got a workout that morning. I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then to the point where I was like, okay. I stopped and I told her, I said, okay, let's stop. And she looked at me, just tears. I can breathe. And she shouted, you know, Pentecostal folk, how many Pentecostal, we're Pentecostal. If you pray in tongues, you Pentecostal, you might as well just say, yeah. Some Pentecostal folk can scream loud, all right? And I mean, she starts, I can breathe. And the whole place just came unglued, shouting and rejoicing and stuff. That lady was completely healed. Completely healed. Completely healed. I tell you what, you know, I mean, it's amazing, you know, just amazing what God will do. And in that meeting, I tell you what, God just showed up, and man, everybody was getting healed. You know, somebody used to say this, that God is a show off. And when I first time I heard that, I thought, ooh, don't say that about God. But then they started saying, but you know, you think about it. Could God not have told the children of Israel that a bridge needed to be built? When Moses was going to deliver him, could God not have raised somebody else up to build a bridge? But no. Let my people go. The Israelites are free. They're following Moses. They get to this huge body of water. And they're all freaking out. You've led us out here to die. Hello? So anyway, you know, everybody's thinking we're out here, we're going to die, we're going to die. And what did God do? Take that rod of yours, Moses. Take that rod of yours. And Moses did what? How many of you ever seen Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments? What did he do? He took that rod. And that water split. And it wasn't muddy water. They walked across on dry ground. I believe God likes to show off a little. He could have said, and he told Noah to build a boat. Told him how to build it. Boat never been built. He built that big old boat. He could have said, build a bridge. One day, a fish decided that he had to go to the bottom of the water here and eat some coins. All of a sudden, I don't think fish like metal. I don't think fish like coins. But for some reason, these fish went to the bottom, gobbled up coins. And then Jesus said, go, we need to pay taxes. Go catch fish. Don't you know? The disciples, what? He wants to go fishing and we need money? Seriously? Seriously. Cut the fish open. There's going to be the money you need. He likes to show who he is to us. And he doesn't want to just do it in a church meeting, though he loves to do it in church services. But he likes to prove who he is to us in our personal lives, in our own prayer life, where we're speaking the word, we're declaring the truth. We're speaking from a place of faith. I know the Spirit of God. I know him. Guys, God is alive. He's not dead. One of my band members there on campus quite a few years back, he told me a story. He said, my little nephew, he was like around 3 or 4 years old, was playing in his toy room. As he was praying in his toy room, all of a sudden he ran out. His mom was in the kitchen and he told his mother. He said, Mom, Jesus is in my toy room. And she just kind of looked at him. Okay. And he kept talking. He said, he told me that he was coming back soon. And she goes, oh. And then he ran up to her, put his hand on her belly, and he told me I was going to have a little sister. And she goes, oh, no, not yet. Well, he went back and played in his toy room. And she was just like, what in the world? Her husband came home. She told him, oh, what do you think they went to the drugstore to get? And when they got home, it was positive. They now have a little girl. Why would God appear? Why would Jesus appear to a kid in a toy room but to prove to that family that he was in his toy room? And he did tell that little boy that he was coming back soon. And then to prove it, and he told me that I'm going to have a little sister. Come on. Show off. But he wanted to prove to his kids. It's been, was it 2 years ago? The prayer coordinator that used to be the prayer coordinator there on campus years and years ago, she said she was in a church ministering, and the pastor's wife began to tell her a story about how that they were in their worship service practicing, like some of you guys were practicing in the team tonight up here before the service. They were practicing before the service, and the drummer was a teenager, and he was back there playing, and their drum set, they have lights that would shoot up in through the drums or whatever, you know, and he was playing, and he looked down, and I guess they call it the skin. I don't understand none of this stuff, but the snare is what I'd call it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, what? The skin of the snare? Okay. Okay. Snare. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so he's playing. Lights are shooting up through it. It always looks the same. And as he's playing, he looks down, and there's squiggly lines all over that skin. And he's thinking, what in the world? What in the world is that? Well, after the worship set, he grabbed a piece of paper, got a pen or pencil, and he traced it. He traced it because it looked so odd. And then he went over to the pastor's wife. And he goes, do you know what this is? She goes, where did you get this? He told her. We were worshiping. At the end of the worship set, I saw this. I traced it. She goes, I don't know what it says, but I'm taking Greek and Hebrew in college right now, taking a class. And can I have this? I'm going to take it to the professor. So she took it to the professor. The professor said the same. Where did you get this? She told him the story. Our team was during their worship practice. And it just appeared on the snare, you know, and the kid, he traced it. She goes, why? What does it say? Does it say something? He goes, yeah. And on the snare, where the kid traced what was said, it said, my return is imminent. The word imminent means it's about to happen. I'm ready to take a laugh right now. Jesus is getting ready to come back. And guys, we as the body of Christ, we are in the hour that he is desiring us to operate from a deeper place of revelation light. He's wanting us to operate from a place of seeing and knowing. Brother Hagin, before he went to heaven, he would teach this so much about the church must operate from a place of seeing and knowing. We would pray the Ephesian prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, that a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him by having the eyes of our understanding flooded with light so that we would know what the hope of our calling is. God wants us to operate with wisdom of revelation light of who we are. are as a spirit being made in his image and in his likeness, ready to conquer and fulfill the mandate that is upon the church so that the rapture can take place, so that this harvest can be reaped, so we can get out of here. But God is looking and he's searching for individuals in the body that will stand up and stand for what is true and begin to preach and pray and prophesy. You don't have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher in order for the gifts to be an operation in your life, in order for your prayer life to bring forth the plan of God. All he asks is that we believe and believe and know who we are in him. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. There are manifestations of his spirit that are just, he's wanting to be manifested, but it's up to us to tap into him. If we don't ever come to church with expectancy of something's getting ready to happen, something's getting ready to take place, and I believe you're in a church where there's expectancy. I'm sorry, I'm wanting to preach, so. But we need to operate from a place of who we are in him, where we pray from a place of faith. I've got an unction. I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. I'm not asking you if you know everything in your head, because you don't. And if you think you do, smack yourself. But there's somebody that lives on the inside of us that knows all things. And so I'm going to operate in faith. Did I know what to sing when Miss Lynette turned around and looked at me? No, because I couldn't hear or understand what she was saying. I didn't have the monitors on. And so I had to go deep in my heart. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. And thank God it was from heaven. It was what was needed to be sung. Are you with me? When I got in the Rhema Singers and Band, I remember telling Philip, who was over the music, I remember looking at him saying, Philip, if you don't ever know what to do in a meeting, you look at me and I'll have it. He goes, girl, you are crazy. I go, I know it, but I know the Holy Ghost. And see, he's like, I know, because he'd heard me preach it so many times. He said, I know where you're coming from. I said, I'm not being cocky or arrogant. But man, I want God to be God. I want to do my part in the group. I want to have it. I'll step out by faith. I'll have it. Because, you know, a lot of times we'd go to meetings with Brother Hagin, and when we'd be on the road with him, they would look at us in the group like, would you guys just hurry up and get your job done? Not every church, but some would. And they just wanted us to shut up and get done. But what they didn't realize, we were there because he hired us and wanted us there because he wanted the anointing to flow through us. The minstrels sing and they worship, they usher in the presence of God. And then Brother Hagin, as a prophet, could come out and walk right on the platform of the anointing of what we set up for him. But then you go to churches sometimes and they don't want you to sing. They don't recognize the anointing or the giftings upon us, but he did. So to the point, he, when the anointing would be on us, he would call us to do stuff. Are you with me? And so I'll never forget being in that particular service. And I had told Philip, I said, you know, whenever you need, you just look at me. Because see, a lot of times, as I said, they'd look at us like, hurry up and get done. And so it would be hard sometimes because Dad wasn't in a hurry. And he didn't want us to hurry. He wanted us to find the anointing and stay where the anointing was if it meant sing the same song 20 times. Don't go to your second song if the anointing's on the first one. Why go to the second song when the anointing's on the first one, and then you go to the second, and when you go to the second, it drops? Dad would be, you go back to where the anointing is. You stay where the anointing is. And so sometimes it would be hard sledding because people didn't want to hear what we had to do or sing or say. But guys, I'll never forget it. Oh my goodness. This particular meeting, the presence of God, he wanted to do some things. And Philip called on me. I was like, oh Jesus. But I'd have to get in faith. By the time I would step out, I would always go, hallelujah! And I would just shout in faith, hallelujah! And I would take them right to the throne. Whether they wanted to go or not, I was going. I was going to use my faith. I know the Holy Ghost because I know him. I got this. How many times? But there was one meeting in Hampton, Virginia. It was Thursday night. It's 9:30 at night. I'm tired. This meeting had been good. But to me, it went south. I was tired. Brother Hagin hadn't taught, spoke all night long. It went from one minister to another minister, and it was all good. And I'm sure all of it was good. But when you're tired, you just want to say, do the altar call, please. And it was 9:30 at night, and I'm sitting up on the platform in a folding chair behind Brother Hagin, and he's sitting in this big wingback chair. And you couldn't really see me if I squished down in my chair. And some of us in the group were sitting up here. Marty Blackwelder, who was the piano player in the group, he was sitting across the platform from me. And Philip, who was the guy that was in charge of what we were going to sing, he was down in the front, down on the floor, and he's got the microphone, and he's still talking. Billy Brim had spoke. Different ones had spoke. Kenneth Copeland. It was good. It was all great. But Leanne's tired now. It's Thursday. We've been having meetings in the morning and night. Tomorrow's our last service. I'm tired. Would you please? He's my buddy. So on the inside, I'm saying, shut up. Do the altar call. You guys still love me, right? Am I showing too much of my humanity? All right. And so I was just like, dear God, Philip, do the altar call. And then I'm shrunk down in my seat. And I look over at Marty. Marty had his elbows down on his knees, and he's looking over at me. And when we caught eyes, he looked at me, and he was like, oh. Which what that meant was, cut out, cut the service, stop. And I looked at him, and I go, I know. If people only knew what ministers do, you know? Brother Hagin, major prophet, sitting right there in front of us, and we're fleshing out. And then as I'm looking at Marty, all of a sudden I heard my name over the sound system. Leanne? I didn't move. And then all of a sudden I heard, Leanne, I know you're up there. Oh, God in heaven. I'm gonna kill Philip. I stood up and I smiled. I'm up on the platform towards the back. He's down on the floor about where I'm at, you know? And this platform was probably five sizes of your platform, all right? I'm sitting way back there behind Brother Hagin, hiding out. Oh, my God. I stood up and go, huh? He goes, come down here. And on the inside, I thought, I'm gonna kill you after the service, Philip. I turned, and as I'm turning, I'm looking straight at Marty, and Marty's going, altar call, sister, altar call. And I looked at him, and I go, I know. We're getting out of here. Well, it's a big platform. As I turn to walk, Brother Hagin's sitting right there in his chair. He's praying in tongues like a house of fire. Now, we can pray in tongues like, oh, brigadier, but this time, oh, Bruce, he's going for it. And I knew he's got something. I can't do the altar call. Oh, my God. All I've been thinking about is my pillow in the hotel room. And, oh, my God, telling Philip to shut up. And, oh, God, I'm the devil. I'm a heathen. I'm not kidding you guys. You know how things happen within seconds and all the thoughts that come to your mind. And you might say, what does it have to do with prayer? Guys, give me a minute. I start walking down to the floor, but Philip's just still talking away. I don't even know what he was talking about. But wasn't even paying attention to what he was talking about. And on the way from seeing Brother Hagin like that, I knew God wanted something else to happen in this meeting, and I better step over by faith. Holy Ghost, I'm so glad I know you because I know you. I got this. All I want to say is I got saved, filled with the Spirit, baptized all over again as I was walking from my seat, all right? But because I had meditated, John 14 said, Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you. I got this. I got down to where he was, Philip was, standing at the podium on the floor like this. I stood on this side. He came and he stood on this side. He's still talking. And then Philip looks at me and he turns to me. He goes, okay, Leanne. He said, tell us where the church world is today. I wanted to gut him, guys. I thought, and he smiled at me, laughed, and walked away. Handed me the microphone. Handed me the stinking microphone. And on the inside, I'm thinking, I can tell you where the church world wishes they were in bed. And then another thought went through my mind. Well, dear God, Billy Brim is right there. She knows everything about the church. And you're asking me? So you know what I had to do? Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you. I got this. And if any good minister knows, huh, that when you don't know what to do, everybody, let's just worship God. You get people going vertical. And so I just, oh, hallelujah, Father, we worship you. And I just begin to worship God. And then I just begin to sing in the Spirit. Just begin to sing in the Spirit. And the next thing I know, I had one word in English. So I sang that word out. Then I sang out the next word. Then there was another word. And I was like, dear God, I need to sit down and write this down. I'd never sung it before. And it was all about the coming of the King and where the church world is. But I had to stir myself up in faith. I know him because I know God. He lives on the inside of me. I've got this. God, you love these people more than I love them, and I'm trusting you. And there were times when I was up there doing it, I'd turn and I'd look at Brother Hagin because I wanted to see if he wanted to take it. And he was looking dead at me, and this time he was pointing at me like this. And I'm thinking, what in the world does that mean? So I'm still, hombre, get evangelio, hombre, stay. And then I would sing some things out, and then I would turn to Richie, who was the head of the team, and I'd go, Richie, what is Dad doing? What does that mean? He looked over at him and he goes, oh, I don't know. I just looked at him and go, thanks. You know, I looked at Dad probably two or three times, and each time he was pointing at me like that. After the service was over, I was talking to Annie Durant. She used to sing in the Ramah Singers and Band a long time before I was in the group. And she said to me, she goes, Leanne, Dad was pointing at you like that because he was saying, keep going. You're doing what I would do. Keep going. Now, he wouldn't have sung it, but he would have spoke it out. She said, he was telling you to keep doing it. I was like, well, wished you'd been on the platform with me. Then you could have told me that because it was still freaking me out. But I had to operate from that place. I know the Holy Ghost. You might say, Leanne, why are you talking about these stories tonight? Why are you sharing stories tonight? Guys, when you talk stories, you make things be real to people. And because we're all human beings, we live in natural bodies, but we're spirit beings. And we have a legal right to operate in the realm of the Spirit. But God wants us to operate with Him according to the Word. The Word says, that you're a spirit being. You've been made like God. God wants you to operate in the unseen realm, or he would not have had Paul say to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. To walk and live in the Spirit is something that is simplistic. It's the ABCs of who we are. But see, because we're afraid that we're going to get off or get flaky or get weird, we'll stay away from certain things. And God never meant for it to be that way. We're supposed to be able to flow in the Spirit, trust the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. I remember the first time I had a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, and I thought it was just me. And then finally, I just spoke it out in one service, and people started getting healed. Guess what? It wasn't just me. God lives on the inside of us. God wants us to operate in faith in our relationship with him. That's why he said, Jesus, I set you up this morning. Remember, I set you up. I gave you the scriptures and I showed to you how that Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go. I taught you about how that when Jesus, here he was getting ready to pay the price for everything, but he wasn't talking about himself. He was saying, guys, I'm getting ready to get out of here, but there's somebody that's coming after me and he's going to live on the inside of you. And Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I get out of here so that he can come, the comforter of the Holy Ghost. He's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. John 14:17, Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know him, but you know him because he lives and dwells on the inside of you. He said he's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. He made it for the future because Jesus hadn't died yet. And Jesus knew that when he went to heaven, he was going to send the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost was going to come. And we talked about how in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came. They tarried, they waited, he came. We don't have to tarry and wait anymore because he's here. The Holy Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit wants us to hook up with him. You know, I would hate to get before the Father on that great day and stand before him and him look at us and say to us, why didn't you operate with the power that I gave you? You were never alone. I was with you in everything that you've went through. And you didn't go through that. You should have went through that in victory, because I am the one that sent my son to deliver you, set you free, and cause you to walk in victory. But see, the enemy has come to blind, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to make it hard for the believer. He wants people to think that the Holy Ghost has been done away with. But guys, every one of us in this house know that he's not, right? We're in a church that believes the Bible. But God wants us to operate with him. Live according to the word and what the word says. Now, the Spirit of God just said to me, there's many victories that are in this room tonight. He just said, there's many victories in this room tonight. There are so many victories that are resting upon many of you in this house tonight. And the Spirit of God has said to me just now, if you'll just dare to take it and say it's mine, if you'll dare to just believe, wait a minute, I've got the power. He's given me his ability. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Whether it be a situation at work, whether it be a situation within your family, maybe it's a physical situation, a financial situation. Guys, do you think God's poor? Do you think he lacks in anything? He's a liberal giver, and he's your dad. I love it how in James it says he's a liberal giver. He gives liberally. He gives liberally. God don't have no problem. I like what Bill Winston said one time, or he says it often, where he said it. He said, he goes, you know, every time God's told me to step out and do something in the natural, I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't have the money to do it. But when he told me to do it, I just stepped out by faith. I just stepped out by faith, and then the money began to come in. How many times has God asked you to do something and you let limitations keep you back? We can't let limitations keep us back. I can remember sitting in my office. I promise I'm getting ready to close. I remember sitting in my office there on campus. I was just the prayer coordinator at that time. I'm sitting at my desk, and I was praying about some things. And as I was praying in the spirit, I kept feeling like I was hitting up against a brick wall. Have you ever prayed like that? You just felt like, man, I can't get it. I don't know why. It just seems like I can't get over that wall. Just, I mean, anybody have prayed like that before? Just feel like you're wasting your time, just spinning your wheels. And I'm sitting there, and I start complaining. Father, I'm having problems. I feel like I'm just hitting up against a brick wall, and I'm tired of just praying. I'm feeling like I'm not getting anything done. And you know what the Spirit of God said to me? He said, why don't you act like you're on the other side of the wall? I go, act like I'm on the other side. How can I act like I'm on the other side of the wall? I'm praying. He said, I want you to act like you've already got it. Oh. But I'm praying in the Spirit. So I knew I want to act like I'm on the other side. Well, I thought, well, I'm just going to pray the way I'm sounding in tongues right now. And I'm just going to act like I'm there. I'm on the other side. Where I was praying one way, I began to pray in the Spirit in a different way, in a different dialect, in a different way. Different. Oh, and I just did it by faith. Guess what happened? I was on the other side. Prayed through. You know what praying through means? When you stepped over so far that you're praying, all of a sudden, you know, you got victory. You started laughing. You started rejoicing. You started dancing. I mean, you started singing a song, something. You knew you got it. Man, I knew I got it. I knew I got it. I was just, I mean, it was seconds, moments, boom, shoom, boom. I was done. I was like, hallelujah. I called Jim, who I used to work with. I called him. I said, Jim, I can believe this. He goes, come here. I walked into his office. I go, whoa. I just learned something. We can use our faith in our prayer life. I go, we don't just have to use our faith just for finances and for healing. I can use my faith in my prayer life. I go, Jim, I was praying about this and this and this, and I kept hitting up against a brick wall, hitting up against a brick wall, and the Spirit of God complained, and the Spirit of God said, why don't you act like you're on the other side? I said, Jim, I acted like I was on the other side. I changed the way I was praying in tongues. Boom, whoo, whoo, I got it. I'm finished. I prayed through. He goes, my God, Leanne, sit down, pray with me. Because he had some things that he wanted to get prayed out about some things. So we sat down, and we just started acting like we were on the other side. Whoo! We're people of faith. God knows what he's doing. Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. See, we're trying to make things way too hard. Our five senses will keep us hooked into this natural realm so much. Guys, you've got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. I'm not preaching a new gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. The greater one lives on the inside of you. It's time for us to tap into who he is. And the Bible says, you know him. You know him. You. Who? You. Me. I know him. I ain't anything special. I'm a shy kid from Indiana. But I got a hold of the word in John 14. I know the Holy Ghost because I know him. I got it. Now, this is just the ABCs. The 1, 2, 3s. There's so much more depth in God that I could go into. But the first time I go to a church, I got to lay some foundation. I don't want to just jump off. I want you all to go with me. Pastor's already said he kind of wants us to come back. Maybe after this he might not. But because I believe we're going to keep laying a foundation. And for there is a deeper depth that I have for you. A depth of my plan and my purpose for you to walk in and to see and to walk all the way through. For revelation light is not just for a few, but for all. And I've called you to operate in this place of the supernatural, and that's not all. Where deep calls to deep. Where deep calls to deep. And you begin to operate in such deep rivers that flow from the throne. Rivers that flow out of your own belly. For I've got revelation light and wisdom. I've got things that your natural mind don't get right at the moment. But as you step over into me, I will cause light to be. And understanding will come forth, and you'll be glad that you've learned to spend time in faith with me. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now, guys, you might say, well, what was that? It started off being a tongue and interpretation, but then I just stepped over into prophesying. God's putting his stamp of approval on some things. See, we try to make him too hard. Well, Brother Hagin has went to heaven. You know, when Brother Hagin went to heaven, I was the prayer coordinator and I traveled with him in the group. We'd get phone calls at the prayer and healing center and it'd be people that were known in ministry. What are we going to do? Brother Hagin's dead. What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're going to keep going for it. We're going to keep doing everything that he taught us, everything that he placed within us, and we're going to walk this road of faith because we've developed our own walk. Are you with me? Jesus is coming back. Somebody in here had shoulder pain. It's gone. Check your shoulder. It's gone. Check it. It's gone. Who can say it's gone in the house? Yeah, there you go. There's 2, 3. Yeah. Some are still checking. Yeah, shoulder pain's gone. Somebody had some pancreas issues. I don't know who you are. I don't know how you can check that, but you just declare it. Say, my pancreas is healed. Healed pancreas. No diabetes. Healed pancreas. Healed, healthy, whole. Whew. I know it's late. We got Sunday school. Sunday morning service, I guess. Do you have Sunday school? No. School of the Bible? No. Oh, we just had church. It's good enough. My. I think I'm finished. But I want to keep going. But I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna. I guess I'm gonna say something else here, but I don't know quite yet what it is yet. So, as Brother Hagin would say, I'm gonna hook my tongue back up to my spirit. As the Mugura Fraskinana, Vele Frushti Genere Vrusti Brahma Tori Vele Street. It's upon us to see, it's upon us to say, it's upon us to operate in a supernatural way, where the natural all becomes so dim, but my plans and purposes become so bright. For there is many in this room that I've been trying to get your attention to operate in a greater place of victory and fight. Stand your ground and see what I've ordained for you to have. And when you do, revelation will be, you'll see, and you'll not wear a frown. For victory is yours, the plan and the purpose is mine. And know that revelation shall come as you learn where you're seated with me from on high. Revelation shall flow as you speak out of your mouth in faith. And as you do, direction will come, understanding will be, and everything that the enemy has tried, darkness will flee, darkness will go. You'll see, you'll speak, you'll say, and you will know. Hallelujah. 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 That's just the spirit of prophecy, just what I'm hearing in my spirit, what the Spirit of God is saying. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. No more time for defeat. No more time to be down. But it's time to speak out of your heart. And I keep hearing him say, quit wearing a frown. Speak out of your heart with revelation and understanding. It's now and it's true. Speak from the word and you'll see it will be manifested unto you. For the word is the power that is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, speak, declare the word and you'll find out that those problems and those issues, yeah, somebody's having issues at work and the Spirit of God is saying, speak my word. Speak my word before you even walk into work. Speak it, declare it, and you'll find that things will come in line. For the enemy tries to detour us and get us off track to keep us out of time. But God's saying, stay steady, keep walking straight on the path that I've ordained you to walk in. And as you do, revelation shall come, understanding will be, and you'll see the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory of my presence shall be manifested in upon and through you. Hallelujah. Huh. See, I start stepping over here like this, and I'm hearing family, 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 family. Family issues, family, family times. Family, family issues, family ties. And the Spirit of God says, you're responsible for you. You're responsible for how you handle situations and circumstances, not what your siblings that are older know. It's up to you. You speak, you declare the truth in your own personal life and way, and where they're at is not going to affect you unless you allow the enemy to come in and sway. Don't allow the enemy to sway and cause you to think opposite and to make you feel that because of them, this is how it shall be. But know that, hey, my word is true. You stand on the truth and it will cause your life to abound in such victories and freedoms. Oh, and they too will see, but it's going to take them a little time. But don't hook yourself by speaking what they say all the time. Well, glory. That's for somebody here. Man, don't you love God, guys? I keep hearing Jesus is coming soon. Some would say, I've heard that all my life. Me too. As a little girl, we would sing it in the church choir. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Sang it all the time. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah, 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 glory to God. Well, I'm looking forward to the morning, whatever the Spirit of God has us do, but Pastor, it's yours. I'm going to shut up now. Thanks, honey.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Did you get something? God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this service. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. Oh, we're so grateful. Lord, we thank you for the healings that took place tonight. We thank you for the direction by prophecy and tongues and interpretation. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation that came forth through the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, we know, Holy Spirit, you bring all things to our remembrance. So we cherish every word that has come forth. We thank you that, Holy Spirit, you'll continue to teach us through the examples that were given of Leanne's life and what you've done through her. Lord, because it's your story. And it's an encouragement to us. We're going to walk in the same. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, God bless you guys. We'll be here at 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.